Yeah, you can focus on sort of what are the right conditions for coffee cultivation, right, from a climatic perspective. And then we can go and ask, you know, what are the right conditions for sort of human labor, outdoor labor? And we know that when we have really, really warm conditions and moist conditions, it becomes hazardous to work outdoors.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode one of a brand new series on the Daily Coffee Pro. We are, for the first time on this podcast, having a series about climate change, well overdue. And we have John Abbotzoglou, professor from the University of Merced. Did I say that correctly?
Merced. University of California, Merced.
University of California, Merced, in the United States. John, welcome to the podcast for the first time, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Now, folks, if you recognize the surname or the last name, that's because John is friends with a podcast favorite of ours, Anna Abbotzoglou. And Anna has been on the podcast before, and Anna said you've got to have John on to talk about climate change because there's a lot that's impacting coffee with regards to climate change. And John, you are going to help us dissect a lot of that. Fingers crossed. So the theme of this series is the impact of climate on coffee. And in this episode, why don't you help us understand what climate change is?
Yeah, I mean, we can start with what is climate, right? And I think that's something a lot of people struggle with, right? Because I think most people know what weather is, right? And so weather is, let's go outside, let's take a temperature, let's get the winds, let's look what the pressure is. And climate is effectively doing that, but doing that over a 30-year period and getting a whole bunch of data. And so when we talk about climate change, that is really sort of a change in the weather, right? But it's also the statistics of weather. And I like to tell my students that there are analogies between climate and weather. So if weather is your mood, climate is your personality.
Oh. Right?
If weather is what you are wearing, climate might be what's in your wardrobe. And then if weather is the cup of coffee you had this morning, what's climate? I'm going to let you answer that
one. I really like what you did there. We'd probably say that it was the coffee roaster.
Okay. Yeah. And so if climate changes, right? We might expect that some of those other statistics will change, right? The cup of coffee that you have in the morning might change because that roaster, right, has different characteristics, right?
Right.
And we may be talking a little bit about, you know, a roaster that is getting its coffee beans from a certain location. Mm-hmm. That error is now changed because the environment has changed. The temperatures are too warm to have that certain quality. So that's a little bit of like climate versus weather. We've been sort of taking observations of weather for quite a long time, everywhere globally, but we have a pretty good record, right? Across much of the globe using a whole sort of instrumentation, right? Thermometers. Some people don't trust thermometers. They think that they lie. It turns out that we have other proxies that are essentially recording climate, right? We can look at tree rings. We can look at ice cores. We can even actually sense how the climate is changing by looking at plants. And so in certain areas, we will see, for example, spring, the arrival of spring. We can see that as a function of once temperatures get above a certain temperature threshold, we see the bloom. And those records also show us that spring has been coming earlier. All these things are basically pointing to the fact that the world has warmed. We want to put some numbers on it. It's about, you know, a 1.2 degrees Celsius over the past century, most of that really since around 1970 or so. And last year was the warmest year by leaps and bounds globally, about a degree and a half globally warmer than a sort of pre-industrial 1800s or so climate.
Wow. And we look at coffee's an agricultural product, obviously. We look at the influence that climate is going to have on agriculture. What's the hypothesis of where that's going to go?
Yeah, so most crops, and realistically, you know, most species, humans included, have optimum under which they can exist. And so for coffee, right, there's sort of a number of factors that'll basically determine whether or not coffee is going to be climatically suitable. We're going to ignore here the fact that you need to have proper soils, et cetera. We're just going to think about the temperature and maybe the moisture components, right? So coffee likes to sort of hang out in the bean belt, right, in the tropics.
Yeah. Places
where your average annual temperature is somewhere between like 18 and 22 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
And so you can imagine as the world warms by 1 degree Celsius, 2 degrees Celsius, maybe 3 degrees Celsius as we approach, you know, mid-century, those zones where coffee has traditionally been grown are going to shift. And that will lead to a loss in the viability of coffee growing in places that are today sort of near the warmer edge of where coffee can be grown.
Right. And so when we are looking at those weather changes that we were talking about versus climate changes, as the weather changes, I'm suspecting that the shift in the climate has an intense impact on the entire ecosystem within that environment, from the soil, the air, the plant structures, the animals that can survive, the human traffic that walks through there, all of it.
Right. I mean, yeah, you can focus on sort of what are the right conditions for coffee cultivation, right, from a climatic perspective. And then we can go and ask, you know, what are the right conditions for sort of human labor, outdoor labor? And we know that when we have really, really warm conditions and moist conditions, it becomes hazardous to work outdoors. And likewise, we can talk about the conditions for other sort of the holistic ecosystem that might accompany coffee as well. And so you may see conditions where a warming climate, right, and also decreases in moisture could result in impacts to some of the sort of coexisting tree species that grow with coffee.
When the conversation of climate is very interesting in the coffee industry, because you have two sort of extremes in the coffee industry when it comes to people's political leanings. People are either very left-leaning or very right-leaning. And both sides politically tend to have their own understanding of what is going on with the climate. Talk to me about why some people think that climate change is a myth, and why, I mean, it's such a contested kind of idea in the first place. I've never really quite understood where people are coming from with that.
It is. So, you know, climate is a hard nut to crack, I think, because the word climate is hard for most people to wrap their brain around. Climate change is also hard, and then global climate change. So when we talk about global warming, we're talking about a global phenomena. Mm-hmm. It's also a slow-moving phenomena, right? So this is something that where we've seen a degree Celsius of warming over the last 50 to 100 years. This is not something that strikes immediately. And so one of the challenges, I think, for certain people to cast doubt or maybe dismiss climate change is that it's a slow-moving phenomena. It's kind of like this concept of a frog that is in warm water, and that water gets warmer and warmer through time. They eventually may not notice it. You know, I think that there's fewer and fewer people that are denying that climate change is happening. There is discourse as to why, right? Why is climate change happening?
Because
that ultimately goes down to, like, how do we solve it, right? And so the scientific evidence suggests that basically all of the warming that we've seen over the past century is not natural, right? It would not have happened in the absence of human activity. Mm-hmm. And human activity is mainly here coming about through the burning of fossil fuel carbon that is effectively deep within our Earth. As we burn it, that carbon gets converted to carbon dioxide and methane, which are greenhouse gases, which are good. We need greenhouse gases because if we didn't have them, we would have a really, really cold planet. Mm-hmm. But we only want a certain amount. And we have today about 40% more carbon dioxide in our atmosphere than we did in 1800. And that is effectively trapping more heat, warming our planet up. But we can't see CO2, mm-hmm. right? It's an invisible gas. It's minuscule in the atmosphere, but it's quite powerful. But the science suggests that that is what is behind the warming that we've seen. And there's a lot of inertia tied to dismissing climate change being caused by explicitly the burning of fossil fuels, because fossil fuels realistically power a large portion of the global economy, and they're hard to quit. And a lot of corporations are pretty heavily invested in them. So that has led to a lot of this sort of, you know, this doubt cast on the science of climate change. But that doubt does not exist in the scientific community. It is being perpetuated primarily by well-funded groups that are basically out to cast doubt on things that are, you know, hard for people to wrap their brains around.
Tell me, it seems to be a post-COVID, whenever somebody says the scientific evidence is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure that's delightful for you as someone who has to say that statement a lot. Where does the science behind climate come from?
Oh, that's a great question. So there's lots of lines of evidence, right? So this isn't like, when we talk about climate change and the idea that it's, you know, much of that warming today is human caused, lots of lines of evidence, right? We can study climate over the Earth's history using records from the deep oceans, from tree rings, etc. We know that the Earth has warmed and cooled, and in much of the Earth's history, it's actually been warmer than it is today. Humans just weren't around.
Right? Okay.
Very different environment, so we can't necessarily compare where we are today versus the past. We also know that when the Earth was very warm in the past, there were high levels of CO2 in the atmosphere. Okay. So the understanding that CO2 warms the planet is not controversial. We also have climate models, right? And so mm-hmm. it's hard, like if you are growing, for example, if you're growing a new varietal of coffee or strain, you can, and you're testing whether that strain of coffee might be effectively resistant to heat, right? You could basically grow that coffee in a controlled environment. Many different plants have a control, have an experiment and test things out, mm-hmm. right? Do this with, for example, comparing whether or not, some of these vaccines are effective at mm-hmm. control COVID. We can't do that with Earth. We only have one Earth and we can't fuck up that bad, right? Like, we don't want to mess it up that bad.
We could, but
I mean, so like, you know, there's some challenges with doing this. And so the idea behind climate models is we want to put together our best understanding of how this system works and then run scenarios, run experiments with these models and then test them out. And the models, you know, generally show that indeed the Earth is sensitive to natural fluctuations in solar activity, right, volcanic eruptions, but also increases in atmospheric carbon concentrations, aerosols, which are bright reflective materials emitted mm-hmm. from industrial activity. And they also effectively show that the warming that we've seen since 1950 is pretty much due to the increase in carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas concentrations associated with the human activity. So multiple lines of evidence all point to this idea that A, warming is happening, And B, that it is human caused. And that sort of leads us to sort of thinking about, well, how can we sort of bend the curve on this warming that we've seen globally? Is there a way to slow this freight train down? Or, you know, in some cases, maybe certain groups may think that the warming may be beneficial or not a problem or no big deal, right? And that gets into this other sort of philosophical debates about whether climate change should be sort of, you know, rise to the top of the most pressing global issues of today or not.
Right. I feel like it's climate versus AI. And, you know, nuclear bombs and shit. Like, it's choose your own adventure at the moment. By this stage in the story, we're kind of like, there's so much going on. Who knows where it's going to end and what's going to be the cause. The one that I really like is when people turn around and say that it's not real and it was going to happen anyway. And so why should we care? Well, the reason it's happening is sort of irrelevant by this point. It's happening and we could do something about it. Like, if this was meant to happen or not meant to happen, we certainly helped it along. The evidence shows that much at least. And if it's going to continue to warm, it's going to get a wee bit uncomfortable.
Right.
So maybe we could do something about it if possible.
Right. Right. So yeah, part of this is a little bit, and there's a couple solutions that we can talk about a little bit later on, but adaptation is the idea that we know that the warming will continue. Let's find a way to basically reduce the impacts to things that we care about.
Right.
And that we can talk about that in the context of coffee. The other sort of, you know, solution here, or at least maybe, you know, mini solutions, right, is this idea of, we call it mitigation, which are basically collective global efforts to slow climate change down. And that gets into reducing carbon emissions, doing
carbon
things
capture.
Like natural sort of solutions, sequestering carbon, etc.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's definitely happening in coffee. Every coffee producer in the world will tell you that their harvest is moving around, the trees are flowering at different times, or they're flowering multiple times a year. So folks, in the next episode, we're going to talk about how will coffee be impacted by climate change. So join us for the next episode. Thank you, John. This has been an awesome start to the series. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.